Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.
घर से डोला चला लाडली का क्या क्या नजारा है ये जिंदगी का घर से डोला चला लाडली का क्या क्या नजारा है ये जिंदगी का कितने नाजों से पाला था हमने हर तरह से संभाला था हमने हाय हमसे जुदा हो रही है हाय हमसे जुदा हो रही है घर की यादों में वो खो रही है आज बाबुल करो पूछो और माँ का तरपना न पूछो
عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم 3 minutes after 11 beautiful warm Wednesday morning on our program The Bliss of Marriage My name Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia I don't know why all my beloved wonderful listeners of Markaz Sahaba they spell my name as A-R-A-F-double-A-T. Well, it's not double eight. It's not Arafat. It's Arafat. A-R-A-F-A-T. That's my beautiful name. Allah says in the Quran, Minna Arafatin فَذْكُرُ اللَّهَ عِنْدَ الْمَشْعَرِ الْحَرَامِ Yeah, that's in Juice 2, in Para 2. My name comes there, Arafat. So it's not Arafat, it's Arafat. Some people pronounce me as Arafat. Arafat. Yeah, I know when I was, when I went to England, when I was in London, they say Arafat. Yeah, Arafat. You know, they don't pronounce the T, Arafat. You know, it's hot. They don't say it's hot. They say it's hot. Yeah. But anyway, it's a beautiful Wednesday morning. It's part two. Yesterday was part one. Today is part two, 11 to 12 every Wednesday on the bliss of marriage. I want to welcome my beloved engineer, Brother Bonface. He's looking extra cool this Wednesday morning. He's got a cap. So he is smiling. He's not that serious. Normally, Brother Bonface, he's always... like, you know, when he looks at you, he's like trying to say, hey, yeah, there we go. He's smiling. Well, to our listeners out there, 084-786-3132. That's our WhatsApp number, 084-786-3132. Let me just repeat it one more time because I see there was a listener that messaged myself and Haji Abu Yusuf early this morning on our program of Safina to Ilal Jannah. And the listener was complaining and saying that, but Mulana Arafat, why don't you just repeat the number? We don't know how to contact you, where to contact you. So I'm repeating the number again. 084-786-3132. Overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. +27 84 786 3132. Let's welcome our beloved listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And of course, not forgetting Sirius FM listeners, Haji Faisal Asmal and Haji Hafiz Yusuf Asmal and company. We welcome the listeners of Sirius FM on this beautiful Wednesday morning, the 12th of Dhul-Qa'dah, 1442. Let's welcome our beloved Ustad early this Wednesday morning on the bliss of marriage. It's a beautiful morning, Ustad. We welcome you into the show. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu fikum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
I think there's a listener who starts saying that Mufti Sahab, health and sickness is from Allah, right? We have a disabled child. He needs my constant care 24/7. Now, this is causing problems in our marriage, Ustad. My husband says, I am only giving our son attention and I am forever tired. He is threatening to walk out and abandon us. What do we do, Mufti Sahab? Please help me out. We didn't ask for this, Ustad.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد All praise due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala teaches us in the noble Quran, Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, and Almighty Allah states in verses 155, 156, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ We will surely put you to trials and tests, sometime with the fear, and sometime with the hunger, sometime with loss of wealth, loss of life, and remember loss of your gardens and fruits. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ Glad tidings to those who exercise patience. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ That when the calamity strikes, they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ That verily unto all Almighty Allah we belong, and unto all Almighty Allah is the return. So we believe as Muslims, وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِهِ وَشَرِّهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ Good, bad, happy, sad, everything comes from Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala. So obviously nobody asks for a special child, or a child with certain disabilities and so forth. But definitely it's a trial, and the mother obviously will have to dedicate her attention to the baby and so forth. Now for the husband to threaten you and so forth, all that is un-Islamic. What will happen in a case like that? That either you employ somebody as well to help you and assist with the baby and so forth, or either he, the husband, he also helps and so forth. You can't just be expecting the mother to carry the burden, that it's a joint responsibility. But for him, tomorrow if he falls sick or something happens, then he expects the wife to be looking after him. So obviously he's a child, so now the baby will need the attention of the mother. So it's very unfair for the husband to make these type of comments and these type of threats, and it will be un-Islamic as well.
I see there's a student of Deen Ustad says that, dear Mufti Saab, I'm a student of Deen and I'm a teacher. Why when we, sisters in Islam, when we get divorced, why the children have to suffer? Ustad, anonymous.
It's not only, you must remember that when you are divorced, then the children will suffer. Even the husband, the ex-husband suffers, the ex-wife suffers, the children, this thing suffer. So it is, has a multi result and consequences. So therefore, the Quran Kareem teaches us, وَسُلْحُ خَيْرٌ Reconciliation is the best. But the thing is, for reconciliation, that there have to be sacrifices and compromises made. So A and B, you are husband, and the wife is X, Y, Z, and now they are children. So you can't, husband, the father can't say everything must be his way, and the mother can't say everything must be her way. And obviously now when that marriage is on the rocks, the binding factor, the factor that should bring you all closer, nearer together, to make jor and not tor, to make the home and not break the home, should be the children. But in this day and this age, when the Muslims, majority of them, any country you go to, you will find that the thinking and thought process is just like that of the kuffar and the non-Muslims. So there we have all the problems, you must remember. So then you see the children are really suffering, and therefore then it ends up in court cases and so much, you know, dirty linen in public and so forth. Otherwise, in all aspects, remember, our Deenul Islam is a complete and comprehensive deen, meaning it is there for our worldly matters and our matters regarding the year after also. But when the Muslim, he or she themselves say, no, we don't want to practice on that, so we inviting the wrath, the anger, the problems from Almighty Allah. So if every party just accepts that what the Sharia states, you will see, then things will work out much better. So that is our advice there. But therefore we say that divorce, talaq, should not be the first option. Always it should be the last resort. And Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadith in Abu Dawood is mentioned, أَبَغَدُ halali إِلَى اللَّهِ الطَّلَاقِ, the most hated and detested thing will to all met Allah is divorce. And tomorrow, inshallah, during this time, 11 to 12, with Mohana Zahid Khan, inshallah, that will be our topic. What is talaq? What is divorce? How many types of divorce? When is divorce acceptable? When not acceptable? So many, many related issues. We'll discuss that tomorrow, inshallah, because today people, you know, the houses are just, the divorce is just spiraling out of control, and so many homes are breaking, Allah forbid. So we need to educate our ummah. Allah make it easy.
I see the apa says, I am an apa, teacher of a madrasa school ustad. Can I teach boys to perform their salah correctly, or must it be done by a molana? I know what is right and I know what is wrong. Ustad.
It's obvious that apa, you can't be teaching the boys, that the boys will be taught by the Maulana, by the Sheikh or the Qari sahab, Hafiz sahab, whoever is there. You will be teaching the girls. You must remember that today they will say you're going to teach them Salat. Tomorrow they will say you must teach this. So obviously that is unacceptable. So the men will learn, but the boys will learn by the men, and the girls will learn by the women. And remember Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded us, Swallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. The hadith is mentioned in Bukhari Sharif. Perform your salat as you see me performing salat. I mentioned this so many times in the past. You know, sometimes I'm in a masjid and I just take a cursory glance and I see people how they perform salat. Without a shadow of doubt, you can easily say 2/3, 70% of the people perform their salat incorrectly. Either they fasten their hands incorrectly, either performing the sajda or ruku incorrectly. So many errors, remember. Hence, we must rectify it. And just to go quick through salat, that type of salat is thrown back in our faces. Remember that. Salat must be read with devotion, concentration. Surah 23, Surah chapter 23, verse 2. Alladheena hum fi salatihim khashi'un. Those are the people who read and perform their salat with devotion and concentration. That is what Almighty Allah is commanding us.
I would like to remain anonymous. Dear respected Honorable Mufti Saab, we really, really love you for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we are learning every Tuesday and Wednesday on the blissful of marriage. I caught my husband red-handed, Ustad, with another woman and videoed it. Now Mufti Saab, he has no words. Must I just give him permission to marry her, or should I ask for a divorce, Ustad?
Obviously, Allah Jalla wa Ala has a system. We call that Sunnatullah. If your husband is a person who's honest, then this will not be the first time that he's having an affair with this lady or another lady and so forth. So Almighty Allah exposes people when the people continue doing and with their vices and sins, Allah forbid. So he is categorized, you must remember, in the Quranic terminology, that is khabith, impure. And that lady, Allah alone knows whether she's married, not married. So who you caught them and then you videoed it or whatever. So both of them, Quran Karim states, Surah 24, verse 26, Al-khabithatu lil-khabithin wal-khabithuna lil-khabithat. That the impure, the immoral man for the immoral woman and so forth and so on. So you should now use your discretion. If this is the first time, second time, then you can make istikhara, that forgive him because you have children and so forth and so on. But if you know that this is ongoing, so then your husband does not want to change. He still wants to continue with all the haram and so forth. So in a case like that, then best for you to leave him. Or even if you stay with him, you must not fulfill his conjugal rights, because you must let him ensure he goes to a doctor of your choice, and he must do an AIDS test, a sexually transmitted disease test, and so many of these things there, because it's becoming his habit, his immoral, his khabis and impure, whilst you are a tayyiba, you are pure and chaste and so forth. And then you should look at it, that what are your options and so forth. So you will have to discuss with your family members, your elders, you will have to discuss, you must remember with him, that what he wants to do, that does he want to marry her, or does he want to separate and so forth. So these type of things, you should make istikhara and see what is the way forward. The one pointer I will give you is this: if he is such that every week, every month, second month, third month, he's busy with a woman, then it's best that you separate from him. And whether it's temporary separation or permanent talaq and so forth, because you can apply to the ulama and go for a fasakh, annulment of marriage, because to stay with such immoral people, remember, it will destroy you and your family, your children as well. What morals will he teach his children? And remember, he will justify all the wrong, and such a home, Almighty Allah's la'anat and curse descends there. So these are my advices. The problem is today that, remember, people, when they get caught, then only they want to stop. But before that, they want to continue with their vices. Allah alone protect us. Therefore, everyone should be reading the dua. Allahumma hassin farji. Allahumma, every Muslim knows, oh beloved Allah, hassin ha swad noon. Oh beloved Allah, hassin farji. Ya Allah, protect my private part, because so many vices, leave non-Muslims, Muslims today, fornication, adultery, gay brigade, everything on the increase. May Almighty Allah protect us and envelope us in His mercy.
I see the sister says here, anonymous Ustad, my husband is very, very, very upset, because he says, well, Ustad, I'm going to just cut it in short, because he says that him and his friends, they are very, very good friends. And of course, he is a different believer. He is a Shia, but he's got good morals, Mufti Saab. So my husband is upset, saying that how can Mufti Saab make a statement that they're not going to go Jannah, they're going to go Jahannam, and they are kafir. What do I tell him, Ustad?
So you must remember this. I hope that this is a separate question, nothing related to the previous question. So you must remember that we don't make people kafir from our pocket and from just our own whims and fancies and desires. We have to have proof. You must remember that. I give you three folks lessons here from Quran Sharif. Oh, they take the verse I read now, Surah 24, verse 26. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala in Surah Nur, Surah chapter 24, verses 11 to 26. Almighty Allah revealed those verses. Ay barra ahallahu. Almighty Allah showed and announced to humanity and posterity that Siddiqa Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha is totally innocent. These kuffar Shia, they make a cake and they shout, Aisha finnar, Aisha finnar. Allah forbid, Sayyida Aisha is in Jahannam. Aisha, Sayyida Aisha is guilty of a major crime. Allah forbid. So what will you say in a case like that? So you have to say, you must remember that the Shia kuffar. Almighty Allah states in Surah 9, verse number 100, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ, that the first and the foremost among the muhajirin and ansar, and they are the people, Allah made them the beacons of light. So you have to follow them, Quran says, وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ, then Allah will be pleased with you. You pleased with Allah, you go to Jannat al-Firdaus. Surah 9 verse 100, this kuffar Shia say, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Aisha, Sayyidina Hafsa, 90-95% of the Sahaba are kuffar and murtad, and they left Islam. So what will you say regarding such people? Remember that Khomeini writes, we are discussing bliss of marriage. Maaf about that we are discussing bliss of marriage, and you see that Khomeini writes, La'anahullah, that you can make mut'ah prostitution for 1 hour. So I don't know that you are only thinking that their morals are good, but everything else is rotten. You see the kalima, they change. The azan, they change. The salat, they change. The nikah, they change. That everything for them is permissible. Prostitution is permissible. Sodomizing the wives is permissible. All this written in their books. They gave me the books, you must remember that. So therefore, we are very, very clear on this issue. And till today, not one Shia has said that what I quoted is incorrect. Because you must remember, they know I have the books to show them all these things there. That we say 100% the Shias are kuffar and out of the fold of Islam. And you, by having business ties with them, or you're socializing with them, you're committing a grave, grave sin and a major sin. And tomorrow they will soften you up. And then you also go join them, or you will become people who will say, no, they're Muslim. We must have Sunni, Shia brothers and so forth. See, I show you two things which you don't know. I was in Iran in 2013. It was first Rabiul Awwal. I landed there Monday. And the 13th Rabiul Awwal, Saturday, I came back to South Africa. That first Friday, the 5th, you must remember, of Rabiul Awwal, 2013, I was in a place called Kashan, Kashan. If you know about Kashan and you know Iran and you know about carpets, you will know that the many, many famous carpets come from that country there, from that part of the world, Kashan. So there, that driver of ours, I told him, where is this place? Where the Shias, they have made a mazar, a shrine, a mausoleum of the person who murdered Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala. And his name was Fayruz Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi, fire worshipper, pakka kafir, non-Muslim he is. So the Shias built a shrine for him and said, you did very, very good. And they called it Shuja'uddin. You the bravest person. You did excellent by murdering and martyring Sayyidina Umar. I'm asking you, can you call such people Muslim? Till today, don't fall for propaganda. Till today, 2021, they don't have a proper masjid, Sunni for Sunnis, in the capital, Tehran. Other places they got, but remember in Tehran, they don't have for us. So what does that tell you? That tells you they treat the Sunni Muslims as second, third, fourth class Muslims and so forth. And you want to tell me that these people are people with good morals when they're swearing our mother, Sayyida Aisha, Sayyida Hafsa, swearing, cursing, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Usman, and Hazrat Muawiyah, and the Sahaba, radiallahu anh, 100% kuffar there.
Ustad, the mother says, with due respect, dear Mufti Sahab, but some ulama also have different opinions on this. So, dear Mufti Sahab, Ustad.
You must remember, no ulama have difference unless they're scholars for dollars and collecting money from the Shias or the agents. Only those people got difference. So, you must remember the agents of the Shias, because the Shias give them money or they sponsor them and so forth. So, we don't count this as scholars. Those are scholars for dollars.
Listen to this one. Ustad, I got married, dear Mufti Sahab, last year. He made me pregnant and then left just like that. I hired a private detective, Ustad, and he tracked him down, the private detective, unbeknown to us. He already had children and a wife in Eastern Cape. Now he forbade me to contact him and threatening me not to confront his wife. She also has no idea about me. He does not help me with maintenance and wants nothing to do with his daughter. What is the way forward in this situation? Anonymous Ustad.
Obviously, you all are to blame. You know, I told you all this over 100 times, you must remember. It's not that any guy just rocks up, I got 1-2 daughters, 1-2 years, and niece or whatever, and now guy comes and just propose and so forth. So now, must I not do my homework? Must I not find out about who are the ulama, the imams, or whoever know this person? Is he reading salat or not? So you get 2-3 examples. A person comes from a different province. He comes from Western Cape, Eastern Cape. He comes from Northern Cape. He comes here to Gauteng. He comes to Natal. Or from Natal, Gauteng, you go to Cape and so forth. It can be anyway. Or you get the foreigner. He comes from India, Pakistan, Egypt, Morocco, or Malawi, or wherever. And now we just propose, we say you are very, very good, and we give our daughter. Now who is really to blame, I'm asking you? You don't know anything about him or his family. So obviously, initially, you all are to blame. You should tell him, you know what, fine, you're interested in our daughter, in our sister, whoever. We want 2 weeks, 1 month, and we have to investigate about you. It's not the guy just came today, and the same day, next day, we have to get married or something. Now you're sitting pregnant, or you're sitting with a baby and a child or children, and he split. He used you as a spare wheel and so forth and so on. So you must remember that how he is to blame, then you also to blame. So my advice is this, that people like that, you waste your time actually by going to the Maulanas and Jamiats and coming to people like us. We can't do anything. You must remember that. We can only advise you. So we don't have that quwwat ut-tanfiz, that power and authority to implement the punishment. So to go to court, you must remember and so forth, and give them all the details and so forth, and say this is the whereabouts of this person, and he left us, he left my child and so forth, and he must pay maintenance and so forth. So they will be sympathetic to you. You get maintenance court and all that in South Africa. So that will be the best thing you can do to get something out of him. Obviously he will try and threaten you and so forth, because he has his good time with you, he used you as a spare wheel, and now he's gone back to his family. But that will be the only way you can get something out of him.
Sister says that Mufti Saab, we knew each other before marriage and we were dating, and of course I was in love, Mufti Saab.
Yeah, so who you blame? You see, anything that starts on haram, so you must remember the result will always be bad. You can't do haram things and expect good results. Remember, the natija, the result of haram, is always disgrace and humiliation. Always remember that. So Islam taught us the halal way, so you all didn't choose that way. And now, وَمَا أَصَابَكُم مِّن مُّصِيبَةٍ فَبِمَا كَسَبَتْ أَيْدِيكُمْ. When calamity is before all you, Quran says, is because of your own deeds and your own actions.
Somebody says here, it's an anonymous non-Muslim sister, Ustad. She says, sir, I am glued to your show. I have a question for you. What is mine and yours is yours in Islamic marriage. So is marriage not a commitment till death do us apart? Why can't we share equally? Sir,
remember that in Islam, both aspects are correct. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, write this down, my brother and my sister. And that is chapter 2, verse 187. Chapter 2, Surah Baqarah, verse 187. Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. That remember the husband and the wife, their relationship vis-a-vis into one another will be like clothing. You see, I got my clothing on, you wearing your clothing. So what does clothing do? It is there covering our body. In summertime, it gives us comfort. In wintertime, it gives us warmth. It covers the scar, the wounds, all that we have. So husband-wife need to be a close unit. And the family must be closely knit as well. So that is what it means. So I always say this, brother and sister, that marriage is not a dictatorship. Marriage is a partnership. But for all intents and purpose, remember now you are running a big multinational business and big multi-billion business. So if you're going to say in everything that you must be partners, so it means that you will have to be partners in assets and liabilities. So if you made a deal and you lost 5 million, 1 million, whatever, so why should your wife also be stuck with that debt there? She didn't commit anything. She was not involved in that transaction. She was not one of the contracting parties. So therefore, Islam drew the distinction when it comes to finances and so forth, said whatever is yours, and whatever is the wife's, so that she will not be responsible for your liabilities, and you will not be responsible for her liabilities. But if you want, and you want to make a partnership between husband and wife, then there's no prohibition on that. But it's not something we will encourage. You must remember that, because you know, majority of the time, the husband will exploit the situation to his advantage and so forth. So we will say it is a partnership, 100%. That everything they do together, provided it is permissible. But when it comes to finances, so whatever is the husband remains the husband only. Whatever is the wife remains the wife only. Because when death comes, then the issue of inheritance and so many other issues will come about as well. So that's why Islam says we must draw a distinction between the two.
The sister says that the reason I'm posing this question to you is that I really like a Muslim boy and I might be converting into Islam. That's why I'm asking and getting married to him, Ustad.
Very good. You should keep your intention very, very sincere, my sister. You must say you're embracing Islam because you believe only exclusively in Islam lies your salvation. You should not just embrace Islam and say because of the boy. So meaning that Allah forbid, God forbid, if the marriage turns sour, then you leave Islam. No. So you must remember, you must say that your primary objective of embracing Islam is for your own salvation in this world and in the year after. Then you get married, you learn about Islam, all that. So very, very good. But my advice to you will be... Sorry about that. Then my advice to you, sister, will be that make sure that your finances, whatever is yours, belongs to you. Whatever is his, belongs to him. And he must maintain you. You must remember that. All the expenses, the shelter, the water lights, the clothing, the food, medical expense, all is on him. Nothing is on you. So don't let people manipulate you. Maybe you are a lady with many degrees or a lot of wealth and so forth. So they will try and use Islam and exploit the situation in their favor.
The sister says, thank you so much, sir. She is an accountant, dear Mufti Sahib.
Yeah, so that's why you must remember, you better do the accounting properly before he starts jippoing the accounts, you know? That in South Africa, a lot of accounts go haywire, you know that. So you must be very careful and circumspect of that.
One more question to start before we go for an ad break. It says here, my Mufti Sahib, my son has a very beautiful melodious voice. He has his entire Quran on CDs, and only ladies buy his CDs. A Mufti advised that this income is haram because we're selling with wrong intentions. My son is only 21 and unmarried. Advice to start.
You must remember that Allah Jalla Wala bless your son with a golden voice and so forth. Among Sahaba, radiyallahu anhum, there was a Sahabi, student, companion of the Master, alayhi salatu salam, Abdullah bin Qais, radiyallahu ta'ala an, and he was known as Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiyallahu an. So one day he was reciting the Quran Sharif. He did not know Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam was present because the Master alaihi wasallam was coming from the other direction and then told him utita mizmaran min mazamiri ali Dawood. Ya Aba Musa radiyallahu an, Allah gave you one of the golden voices like how Nabi Dawood alaihi wasallam and his family. So therefore it's a great bounty of Allah. So now he made the whole Quran on CD and now the women or some men are buying. So that's fine. There's no problem with that. For that person to say it's haram and so forth, remember, we don't agree with that. So you must remember, it will be permissible, but if he goes deliberately and he's just reading for the ladies and all that, you know, horses for courses, and he wants to tune it up even more so the ladies can make wahwa wahwa and very good shabash mashallah. So that is wrong, obviously. But the way you explained it, he made CDs, ladies are buying it and so forth. So till there, there's no problem. It is acceptable.
20 minutes to 12. You are tuning in listening to The Bliss of Marriage. Somebody says, your Ustad, Mufti Sahib, if a person's death is already written, then how is it that when an oppressed person makes dua, then Allah hears the person's duas, does the death then change, Ustad? Anonymous sister.
Remember that we believe everything is already predestined and preordained, and by Almighty Allah Azza wa Jalla. Almighty Allah states, Kullu nafsin zaiqatul maut. Every living being shall taste death. So that is one. Number two is this, when the oppressed person makes dua, so Almighty Allah makes life more difficult for that person who's the zalim, the dictator, the transgressor, the oppressor, the tyrant. But the person will die on the appointed time.
084-786-3132. We divorces are not somebody's second hand, dear Mufti Sahab, that you can be treated like scum. Mufti Sahab, I am very angry. Being in my second marriage, it is worse than the first. Are all men dogs who start anonymous?
It's all, you must remember, no sense blaming the man all the time. You knew that person got the first wife, and I don't know how long you are listening to me. I always tell you, put 100 is just example, 100,000, 100 million, whatever you want to. So you put men, 100 of them, Muslim I'm speaking about, and they take a second wife, third wife, 80%, 75% of them will not do justice. When they don't do justice, then what does Quran Sharif teach us? Surah 4, verse number 3, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدًا. So when you fear you can't do justice, then just stay with your one wife. So today the people don't have that iman, they don't have that taqwa, they don't have that piety and so forth. Now you know all this, and yet then you go and get married and so forth. Then you blame the men and start making statements. Obviously, you can't say all the men are like that. So how the men are to blame, you also are to blame. So what business you had to go become a second wife? You knew that person got a one wife and he got children and so forth and so on. So you should have waited, and you went through one divorce already. So now already the second marriage is so many problems it seems and so forth. So I'm not saying that he's not to blame. 100% he's to blame, and he's guilty of ill-treating you, not doing justice, treating you badly, all that is haram. But with that, you also to blame. You must remember that, because you'll know that majority, 70-80% of the men in this day and this age, they will not do justice. And therefore the Quran has made that a condition, that, and the condition is that there must be justice. And when there's no justice, then the husband must just stay with his first wife.
But he promised me, Ustad.
So you must remember this, that everybody will promise when they have hidden agenda and ulterior motive.
My husband told me this house is for me and my daughters and my son. It says, and my son, we are going to buy him a house. We went around looking for one, and after a few months, my husband passed away. But he left money to buy our son a house. What should I do, Ustad?
So I don't know what the actual agreement was. You must remember this. One is the father tells the son, I am going to buy the house. And if he buys the house, then he must give it to the son and transfer it to his name. No strings must be attached. That you call a hiba, that you call a gift. And once it is transferred on the son's name, then fine, the gift, everything is valid and no conditions attached. One is that the father, he tells his son, I am going to buy you a house and so forth and so on. But remember, even if he buys the house or the current house where they're staying, it's still on the father's name and so forth and so on. No transfer, nothing has taken place, but he keep on saying, oh, this house is yours, this house is yours. So if when he passes away, then that entire house will go into the estate, and that son cannot claim and say that it is his house only, because nothing happened. You must remember that the house is still on the father's name. So therefore, we have to don't leave these loose ends. You must remember that. In a case like that, once people leave the loose ends, then they cause a lot of problems, remember.
I am a righteous wife who obeys my husband's commands, dear Mufti Sahab. But I have a neighbor who watches too much Bollywood and corrupts my husband's mind against me. So Mufti Sahab, this lady next door has an eye for my beloved husband. Do I keep quiet, Ustad?
Obviously that you must speak to your husband and cement your marriage. Start ta'aleem there at home. Take Riyadu Salihin. Take the fadail works of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Shaykh al-Hadith Nawwarallahu Marqadahu. And start winning your husband over to your side. So the love of all these vices and movies and so forth is moved, it turns away from him. And the more you know, mingle with them, you must remember that then they will cause more and more mayhem and chaos. And you should tell that neighbor's husband that your wife is causing problems in your marriage and so forth. Even if your husband is upset about it, remember you got all the right to do that. Or you get the ulama involved and then they can speak to both parties.
I see the brother, I don't know if Ustaz remembers yesterday, the brother that message and say that his wife 2 weeks ago took the vaccine. And you remember the story, Ustaz?
Then what happened?
The vaccine and the son went there to the doctor. He took out the gun. And
Yes.
He just sent a message that his wife passed on. And he wants to know, Ustaz, they say that there's level 5 and most messages will be closed, Ustaz.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un. So you must remember, Allah Ta'ala grant your wife Jannatul Firdaus. And you, as the husband, you should be learning and reading the following dua. Surah 59, Surah Hashr, it's in the 28th Supara, Rabbana, and verse 10. Surah 59, verse 10. In the 28 Jews, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ. Oh beloved Allah, forgive us, forgive our brothers, sisters who passed away before us with Iman. So that's the dua you should be making. Second is make sure all the burial expenses, the deaths of the marhuma, the deceased are paid. If she made wasiyah and bequeathed for none heirs, all that must be implemented within 1/3 of the net estate. And then the fourth one is the shares of the heirs. So that is what you should do. Remember that. If you got children, then remember, teach your children that they must read for beloved mother who passed on. Surah 14, Surah Ibrahim, verse 41. We just discussed it this morning. رَبَّنَا فِي لِي وَلِوَالِدَيَّ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الْحِسَابِ. Oh beloved Allah, forgive me. Forgive my beloved parents and the believers the day the reckoning is established. So in that way there, all may Allah Jalla wa'ala make easy. I don't know that why people just listen to rumors and so forth. That I saw the news this morning on my phone and so forth. We're still at level 3. Nobody said we're at level 5. So I don't know for what we have to panic and so forth. To close the masajid, remember, whether it's by the trustee, the imam or whoever else, totally haram. And remember, a major sin. Surah 2, verse 114. So we are definitely never ever in Islamic history did people go close the masjid voluntarily as people are doing in South Africa and other parts of the world. Allah says, you do that, lahum fid dunya khizyu wa lahum fil akhirati azabun azim. For them there is disgrace and humiliation in this world, and the year after a horrible, terrible, grave punishment. Allah protect us. Totally, absolutely haram. Any person does that, you're not fit to be a trustee, you're not fit to be the imam.
Listen to this one, Ustad. Because my wife has a degree, she treats me like dirt. I still earn more than her, dear Mufti Saab. So who's the boss in our house? Why do I always have to hear how illiterate I am? Don't I still have more rights than her? I still have the right to send her packing. Isn't it so, Ustad?
But you knew that when you married her, that academically she had more degrees or whatever. And you know that the women, they will use that most of the time, that when there's a fight, argument and dispute, yes, you don't have this qualification, you don't have this and so forth. So you knew all that and yet you married her and so forth. Now you bring it up after 3 years, 5 years, 10 years and so forth. Therefore, I told you all 101 times, times. Your selection for your spouse, what must be the criteria? People will either go limaliha, because she's a wealthy lady, wali jamalia, or either for her beauty, or either wali hasabia, that she belongs to the highest strata of society, or wali dinia, or either for her deen. So first far bidati deen. So remember, you will only be successful if you make deen priority number one. So we ourselves, sometimes it is the wife's party, the lady's party, they just saw the man came with the BMW, be my wife, and then they said, very good. Sometimes it is the boy's party, they just saw the beauty or the wealth, or they saw the degrees of the lady and got married. The deen, if you get 5-10% of the Muslims in today, in this day and this age, we'll be lucky. Let us be honest about these issues. So therefore, we have so much turmoil and so forth. Yes, you are the boss of the house, you are the amir and the leader of the ship and so forth, but all that is not going to help you if every day you're going to fight. So the best way is this, that you and your wife, you have to have a meeting, and the petty issues leave one side. What are the major problems in your marriage? You write everything down, she write everything down, and then say, وَسُلْحُ خَيْرُ. Let us now reconcile, and we both parties make compromises. If you can't sort that out, get a third party involved who has some common sense and some taqwa and piety and so forth. So let that person guide you along, and then inshallah you will make some headway, and then you will save the marriage. Otherwise, Allah forbid, it will just go bad to worse.
This one says, Mulana AK, I don't know what to do. I am 65 years old, and my husband refuses me to take the vaccine. He says if I do, then I must go live with my brother, who has already taken the vaccine. I just want to take precaution. What do I do, Maulana AK, Ustad?
The precaution is you mustn't take the vaccine. We say it's not permissible. So what your husband is telling you is 100% correct. You want to take precaution, read Surah Fatiha, read Surah Baqarah, read Quran Sharif abundantly, make dua, make zikr, give out, you must remember charity and so forth. So you must listen to your husband, and whenever in this instance, and all the negative thoughts come in your heart, in your mind, say, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Rajeem. So many people are taking the vaccine and just dying and so forth, and their condition is getting worse. So I don't see why you should be doing it. And remember, the ingredients involved also are not permissible, meaning that they are getting worse, you must remember. So therefore, your husband is correct on that issue.
This one says, my hubby always insults me in front of my kids. And he calls me fat and ugly and says my nose is crooked. What can I do, Ustad? I'm very hurt, and keep on forcing me to sleep with him. And after the job is done, he again insults me and says if I don't listen to him, I'm going to Jahannam. Anonymous sister, Ustad.
Obviously, what your husband is doing is totally haram. All Almighty Allah teaches us in Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 19, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Treat your wives with justice, with respect, and so forth. It's not your wife, you must remember, became fat only after the marriage. She was maybe fat before that. It's not that the nose became crooked now only, maybe it was crooked before that. So now to go and look for faults and so forth and so forth. Look at yourself in the mirror. How many faults and defects you have as a husband. So remember what you are doing, O husband, totally haram, unacceptable. And when your wife is crying and the bad dua, the bad dua comes out, then you start wondering how come everything in your life is going negative and so forth. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you must remember the precedent for humanity and posterity, and said, خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهَلِيكُمْ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهَلِي. The best of you are the best of you for your wives and your children. I, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, am the best to my wives and my children. So remember that this is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif and is authentic hadith.
Someone wants to know, Ustad, why does a man not have to sit in iddat after his wife passes on?
So you must remember that the wife that sits in iddat and not the man. See, easy example, Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha gave, that somebody asked her that why the men can marry the four and we the woman can't have two or three or four husbands. So she took the jug and she poured water, you must remember, into the one, two, three, four, the fourth glass like that, and said, see, everybody can preserve it. So you will know who's your child, everything. But you take all four and you pour in the jug, how you will know? So similarly, that for the woman, that you have many, many issues. That one is maybe she's pregnant, maybe she's not pregnant. Second one is to maintain the sanctity of marriage. The men are allowed to keep two, three, four wives at one time with certain conditions, but the women are only allowed to have one husband at a time. Never ever in Islam can she have two at the same time. And third one, that she must not make a knee-jerk reaction. Today her husband passed away or divorced her, and after one day, one week, she just gets married. Hypothetically, example I'm giving. So there are many, many reasons. So therefore, iddat is only compulsory upon the women and not upon the men.
So listen to this one. This one says here, I also have been forced by my father-in-law to give a divorce due to fear of her father. She has agreed. After I consulted with her while her parents were not around, she says she not want to lose me and wants to keep her home. I have already signed a divorce. What happens in this instance and what can you advise me? Due to fear of her parents, she is trapped. She contacts me often while I do not contact her due to her being beaten in the event of being caught up with me. We want to come and see Mufti Saab this Saturday after Zohar, if Mufti Saab is available. Ustad?
No, I'm not available. Remember, we don't entertain all these type of things here. Yeah? So you go to the Jamiats and whoever else, other Maulanas, they got this department, you can go and contact them. So anyway, you must remember this, that all this you are saying, that your in-laws, your father-in-law or whatever compelled you, forced you and said you must give talaq and so forth. The fatwa, the verdict is this. If you gave one talaq, the one talaq is valid. If you gave two talaq, then two talaq is valid. If you gave three talaq is valid. So all this is water under the bridge. Now is history dead. You must not respond to her. She must continue with her life. You must continue with your life. The Quran Kareem states, after talaq, وَإِن يَتَفَرَّقَا يُغْنِ اللَّهُ كُلًّا مِّن سَأَتِي, when both parties are independent, then you must remember, independent meaning that after talaq, then remember Allah will make you independent and you carry on, O wife, you ex-wife, you carry on ex-husband. Now to say that you want to meet me, meet this one, meet that one, it's not going to help anything. The talaqs are issued and the talaq is valid. And to say that, no, he forced me, all that will hold no water in Islam. That talaq of yours, you wrote it out, you signed it, everything. So remember, is valid. So no sense looking for excuses now.
Someone wants to know, my wife sells expired goods from home, Ustad. Willing buyer and willing seller. Is her income halal as she buys the food in our house, Ustad?
So you must remember that which type of things that are. If it is, for example, food stuff and all that, then obviously that is very, very dangerous and so forth. Then you are deception also. But if it is other things that you must remember, that you know it won't really harm the person, and by law also there is some leeway and so forth, then it's a different thing. But by law there's no leeway, then obviously you can get into serious problems in that. So anyway, Islamically we will say that because you are saying willing buyer, willing seller, and the customer knows about it, so Islamically we will say that the transaction is valid. But remember, still you get a sin for breaking the laws of the country without a valid excuse. So therefore, that we will say you became the owner of that money, they become the owner of that, the parcel, whatever you sold them. But we will not encourage these type of things. We will say one should abstain from it.
Let's go to Ormondi. I see the brother says, I am confused, dear Mufti Saab. Some Molanas told me that after my wife passes away, she is no longer my wife and I am not allowed to go into her cover. While you say, Ustad, it is permissible. Please clarify, Ustad.
It's not I say, you must remember all the fuqaha, all the jurors say. You must ask that Maulana one question, tomorrow in paradise, in Jannah, that wife will be with you or not? Ask them that question. So obviously the wife will be with you and you will be with the wife. So what we say is you can't touch the wife skin to skin. So for you to go into the grave and bury her, for you to greet the Salatul Janazah, be the Imam, all that is totally permissible. And not I say, all four schools say that Shafi'is, Malikis, Hanafis, Hanbalis, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, and he buried Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. So ask them that who buried Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. So you must remember that to say that the husband cannot go into the grave to bury his wife is totally incorrect according to all four schools. 100% it is permissible. Okay, JazakAllah khair to Mawlana Arafat. Let's just give you the rundown that of our program. So today, number one, today 12 o'clock will be news. Then thereafter, 12 to 1 will be the Barakat of Bismillah by Sheikh Salim Dorat. 1 o'clock Adhan, then 105 to 130 Surah Qasas, verses 14 to 18. 130 to 2, remember Surah Anfal, verse number 30. 2 to 3, inshallah, Madrasa on A, Mawlana Zahid Khan. 3 to 3.30, the repeat of this morning's Q&A. 3.35 to 5 o'clock, what is the Tabligh Jamaat, what work they do, good work, and so forth, Sheikh Mumtaz. 5 to 7 o'clock, Mawlana Khalid Yaqub, inshallah. 7 to 7.30, the repeat of today's Tafsir. 7.30 to 8, inshallah, will be more Yunus Patel's advices. And 8 to 10, our brother Shafat Ahmad Khan. Today, nice program they got. Dr. Ridwan Umar, he's a child specialist, and mashallah, they'll be discussing about that between 8 and 9, and after 9 with Mawlana Salim Kareem. So that will be the program. And remember, 10 to 11, we started yesterday, Mawlana Ridwan Kaji's lectures, so you can listen to that between 10 and 11. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Up next is the 12 o'clock news with Haji Yusuf Ali.
Marcus Sahaba Online Radio, serving you wherever you are.